Hello and welcome to the Big Sad Fun Sports Podcast. My name is James Johnson, and I am here as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys and just want to say, how about them Cowboys? But I also have a co-host here, a Falcons fan. What's your name, sir?
Edward Dickey.
Edward.
Still is my name.
How about them Cowboys?
Man, the difference between episodes, I mean, I think you were ready to get off the ship last episode. You were done. You were, you know, we're never going to win a game as long as
Dak Prescott
is our quarterback. Yeah. And I even texted you the Thanksgiving game.
I will say, look, you see here, I have a banner hanging in the studio here with the Cowboys banner, and it's still got a little flame on it. That banner's from 1961.
Really?
And let me just say,
I feel like you've told me that before, and it shocks me every time.
I know. Actually, it was a gift. And I will say, shout out to the gift giver. But also, let me also say this. The Cowboys, I don't know what to think. I will say this. They look good. They look good the last two games. Blew out Minnesota, crushed the Giants.
I mean, didn't they, like, they left coverage of the...
They for the first time ever, in Dallas. Yeah. In Dallas. They left coverage of the Dallas game.
This game is no longer...
It's feasible to watch. It's not even worth watching if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Yeah, like we don't even want the ratings. but like what you're on.
Also, by the way, the Giants Cowboys game, most watched game in the regular season of all time. 42 million people watched that game.
Really?
Yes.
So I saw that.
Just
yeah,
think that is, about that.
Now
this is what we call.
That was Thanksgiving game?
That was a Thanksgiving game against the Giants. You got big market in Giants and you got the Cowboys playing a game where everyone, that's the only game on. So there are. Yeah, getting circumstances. However,
but, and I mean, obviously, like there have to be, but it's still
and two competitive teams as well.
Yes,
so, there were a lot of factors.
It's on Thanksgiving where it's kind of a big thing. Everybody watches football.
But let's just talk about these Cowboys for just a minute. All right. Hey. Number one, I'm going to give a prop. I'm going to give a shout out, and I should not do this because I do not like this player. But I'm going to give a shout out to Dak Prescott because he has played solid football for the past at least 2 weeks. I will say since he came back, the Dallas Cowboys have the number one ranked offense in the NFL. Averaging over 32 points a game.
What game did he come back with?
Came back, I want to say after week 7, or maybe
but like,
week,
who,
week
who are y'all
seven.
Playing? I'm looking at.
Oh, you're looking at the schedule.
Yeah.
He came back for that Eagles game. No. He came back for the Lions game.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's
right.
Been back.
I mean, all right. Since he's been back, y'all have one loss in overtime.
Yep. And we have one loss in overtime to the Packers, which we should not have lost. That was not.
But you know.
And he was terrible in that game.
Yeah.
So I will go back and say, but, look. That's the real Dak Prescott. But these last two games, he's been great.
But I mean, every game but that game, he's been solid.
That's right. And then that first game of the year, which he was terrible in.
Yeah.
So two of our losses are his fault. I'm going to say that right now. And that game that we lost to the Eagles, we were coming back.
You would have lost that game to the Lakers, too.
That's true. Especially with LeBron playing tight end. But that game we lost to the Eagles, we were coming back strong in that game. And I do think that if we could have run a more aggressive offense, which we would have done with Dak, we probably would have come back and won that game. That being said, we look good. I'm excited about where we are right now. We have one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league. And our offense, like I said, number one in the league since Dak came back.
So, if I may ask, do you think that the offensive performance is because they were able to break it down without Dak and kind of figure out what their strengths are? Because I think you and I both agree, and I don't necessarily agree to the point that you do, that he's not the most accurate passer.
He's not. That being said.
But you can kind of get around that to a certain degree.
You can if you got receivers that can go get the ball.
Exactly.
Which is what he's had. And I'll say this. Since he came back, he has the highest percentage completion percentage in the league, 72%.
And that's a lot of that is like, you know, play calling.
That's exactly
calling
right.
Calling plays that fit for him.
That's exactly right. So here's the silver lining. When we lost to the Buccaneers on opening night and we lost Dak, I thought the season was over. Not because necessarily we lost Dak, but because we looked terrible.
Yeah.
And I knew that Cooper Rush couldn't come in. We could not run the offense the way we wanted to run it.
You're not going to the playoffs with Cooper
Rush.
What
I did not know on week one was our defense is elite.
Yes.
I did not know that. Number two, did not know Cooper Rush could actually manage a season, like a handful of games, you know, half a season basically. And number three, what I did not know is it would force us to refine our running game, which is on
that was what I was
fire
getting to.
Now.
Yes.
Yes.
It, like... And whenever, because I think a lot of times whenever you pay a quarterback the way that they paid Dak, you're like, all right, well, now we have to have this big, you know, high-powered thrown offense. Like, well, not really.
Not really, no. Not if you got these two guys.
If you can run the ball.
Boom, boom, boom. We worked the body during the game, and then we cut the head off at the very end. Dude, we've got thunder and lightning with Pollard and Elliott, and I'm excited about what this Cowboys can do.
I've watched a couple games just, you know, because to talk about it on here.
Good. Good for you.
I hate it the entire time, but I see what you're saying with Zeke looks a little older now.
He does.
But I think in this role of being a running back by committee, it's solid for him.
It's a resurgence. He played really well on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
Probably had the best game he's had in 3 years on Thanksgiving Day. Almost rushed for 100 yards. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but you can tell. So with the balance between these two backs, and let me just put this out there. By the time we have our next podcast, which could be next week or could be 3 weeks from now, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be a Dallas Cowboy. He's going to be catching touchdowns, my friend.
Now, I mean, are you worried about the whole airplane situation?
I'm not.
Them?
I am not. Neither is Jerry Jones, so that's all right.
No, Jerry Jones is not. That was a weird situation. But, I mean, you know.
He fell asleep on a plane. That's not a crime.
No, my guess, and as someone, I wasn't there, I don't know. My guess is he took an Ambien, it kicked in too quickly.
And then
he was just
wasn't belligerent. He didn't like punch anybody. Yeah,
exactly.
You fall asleep on a plane, you get removed from a plane.
The whole thing seems to be a bit blown out of proportion.
And it's only because the swirling of the Cowboys rumors. Now, he's visiting the Giants. I believe he's visiting the Giants today, and he's visiting the Bills. Then he's going to come to Dallas. He does not leave Dallas without a contract.
Probably not.
And I think we're probably going to give him a multi-year deal. Maybe 3 years. 3 years, $50 million? Will you play for that?
Yeah. But it's, do you want to be that locked up? And
he's 30 years old. I say we fill it full of incentives and have an out.
Yeah. Jerry Jones is
this year
always,
and all of next year, and we'll see what happens.
Jerry Jones always kind of been pretty good at that.
I mean, he's coming off of two torn ACLs, you know, in his career.
And now, but
it could be a disaster. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of downside on this, but Jerry wants that receiver, and I don't think we need him.
It's a little bit of a, and that's the main thing, is I don't think Odell wants to go somewhere where he's needed.
Yeah.
Because he wants to go to a contender, and a contender
doesn't need
a receiver.
Right. And we're right in that sweet spot of we probably don't need him, but he would really put us over the top if we had him.
But like,
assuming he can
and
play.
Obviously, like, I look at things through the lens as a Falcons fan.
What a sad lens to look through.
It's tough, but
it's time for the Riddler.
We could use the heck out of Odell, but he's not coming to Atlanta.
Right, right.
Like, you know, but he would be great.
Yeah, he would.
He would. I mean, he'd get all of the 15-yard passes that that Mariota can throw.
Hey, remind me this now. Did you guys got rid of Calvin Johnson? Not Calvin Johnson. Calvin Ridley.
Yes.
You traded him. Or did you just
we traded him.
Okay. Man, the Riddler to Ridley? That would have been amazing.
It would have been.
The Riddler twins. That would have been awesome.
Yes.
Just as awesome as the double barrel Bama shotgun was when he had Ridley.
Yeah,
I don't
there
know.
It is.
I don't, you know, your roster's always in flux. I don't know who's on the team.
But and now, if we look back at our show, and you go back to the end of last season, you were high on the let's get rid of the coach.
I was, and I still am.
You still are?
Only because Sean Payton's there.
Now, what would you say to Dan Quinn?
I like Dan Quinn. What he's done with his defense is absolutely, the evidence is right there. Like this, he has taken this defense. We had the worst defense in Cowboys history, and now we're one of the top defenses in the league. So I'll say, Dan Quinn, if we can keep him anyway in that position, then we should pay him.
Say,
we
you,
should pay him as much as
would,
he
would
wants.
Would you want him as head coach?
There's no salary cap for coaches. So whatever he's getting paid to be a head coach, double it and keep him as a defensive coordinator because that's what he's good at and that's what he knows.
That,
as long as he doesn't have to manage a clock, I think this kid, this guy's a good guy. But head coach,
I think we often like overinflate like the heirs of Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
Overall, he was a successful head coach.
He was a great head coach.
We went to the Super Bowl with him.
Absolutely.
And
I think if you got someone who can run the offense, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And if we were going to keep Kellen Moore, you know, which I don't think we will. I think he's also going to be gone.
That's going to be interesting because he's going to go somewhere.
He's going to go somewhere, even if it's to go to Boise State, his alma mater.
That'd actually be a pretty solid hire.
So I don't think we're keeping Kellen Moore. In a world where, let's be fair. If Sean Payton's not coming to town, mm-hmm. then we're going to stick with Mike McCarthy, assuming we don't go one and done in the playoffs. If we miss the playoffs and go one and done in the playoffs, if we win one game in the playoffs,
he's going to stay.
He's going to stay.
But it's also, it's not like, I don't think.
Which it's not the worst thing in the world. But
are you worried about Sean Payton going somewhere else?
Man, he's got a lot of people looking at him right now.
Yeah, but I think he's only looking at one place.
I would really like to have Sean Payton, and I'm willing to get rid of Mike McCarthy, even if we make the Super Bowl and lose.
I realize you're willing to do that. I don't know if Jerry is.
I think he would be. Sean Payton, come on.
I agree.
Because you're gonna lose Kellen Moore. So to bring in Sean Payton, you're getting a double whammy. You're getting an offensively minded coach who's going to call plays. So you don't have to have that dynamic offensive lineman or offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Right? No, that's a good point. It's just it's going to be hard to fire. It's going to be hard for him to sell that to fans.
I gave him 3 years. Didn't make a Super Bowl. You're done. Didn't win a Super Bowl. You're done. That's how we roll in Dallas.
That is the most ridiculous set of standards of all time.
Hey, look.
32 teams start out with that same quest. One makes it.
Well, before we move on from our big, let's shift gears down to minor league football and probably the best game in minor league football, which is the SEC championship game. Generally, it is. Tomorrow is the SEC championship, which dates this podcast, but here we are. Tomorrow it dates the podcast, which means we're going to have to get this podcast out today.
I thought you said it hates this podcast. I was like, not at all.
SEC championship tomorrow, Georgia versus LSU. I heard that Georgia's a 17-point favorite. Is that correct?
Probably. LSU announced a couple guys are no longer hurt.
What an interesting way to do
17.5.
17.5 points.
I think Georgia runs away with it.
You think so?
I think that second loss, I think LSU losing to A&M last week
broke their hearts.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, LSU is going to win by 4.
All right.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
You want to put some on that?
Let's put a beer on it.
All right, yeah. Perfect.
All right.
So you're saying
LSU wins
by 4.
At least 4. Yeah. You want to give me some points?
I was going to give you the line.
No, I'm taking LSU wins by 4.
LSU wins by 4. All right. Love it. That is a great deal for me.
You sure you don't want to bet some money on that?
Yeah, seriously. Let's bet this entire office on that.
I think we could do the points. It'd make it more fun to watch because I don't disagree with you. I'm just trying to be cantankerous, right?
This is the most ridiculous statement you've ever said.
I do think if Georgia was going to lose a game this year, this would be it. And they have not been. Georgia has not been the dominant team they were last year.
No, and so one thing I found with Georgia is we play to the level of the other team. Like, Tennessee comes and they're supposed to be, the greatest thing of all time. And, we blow them out.
But, I was worried for the first half against Georgia Tech, man.
We go into Missouri and all of a sudden we can't do anything.
Right.
And I think it's going to be interesting. I think LSU, I don't know if Kelly is the guy there, their coach.
Yeah.
I think he's benefiting from a lot of Ogeron's guys still being in the program.
No doubt.
But I do think this weekend's going to be wild because, all of the top 4 teams have losable games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if USC, Utah beats USC.
Yeah. Who do you put in?
All heck breaks loose.
Do you put in Alabama or do you put in Ohio State?
I think they're going to put in Ohio State.
I think you have to.
I would put in Alabama.
Of course you would.
You're an
SEC homer though.
Oh, 100%. And I claim that.
How many losses does Alabama have to?
They have two losses. But
both of them in overtime to pretty good teams.
Both of them on last plays of the game. Yeah. But
Ohio State has one loss.
Ohio State has one loss.
To the number 2 team in the nation.
By 20 at home.
A lot at home. Oh,
and
gosh.
And that's the other thing is Alabama lost on the road twice.
See, I don't know if those things matter though.
They're supposed to.
You're not a conference championship. And you've lost one game.
This is honestly why I think we need to go to the 12 team.
And I think we are. By the way, you got to prove we are going to it.
Which is it's going quicker.
Not next year, the year after next.
I believe so. Yeah.
By the time Oklahoma and Texas roll into the SEC.
Funny how that works. which that's gonna be tough sled for Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
I think that's gonna
Texas could beat TCU. Are they? They're playing in the conference championship, aren't they?
Is that right?
I want to say that's what I because that's saw. That's a, no, it's Kent State. It's Kent State. And K State is ranked number 10. They have a good defense, which is weird for the Big 12.
They could, because I think TCU is the most beatable team. They've kind of had that team of destiny thing, which you ask me just means you're just not as good as people think you are.
Michigan's playing Purdue. Purdue upsets people.
Yeah, all of those are losable games. And if two teams lose, all heck breaks loose.
That's exactly right. You still have Clemson out there, too, at 10-2.
Clemson and
what about this Tulane UCF game? Now, how does that factor?
And you know, Tulane, it's like they've kind of done everything they need to
They're 10-2.
Yeah, like, and I mean, but in the 12 team, they're in.
Yeah,
now
that's true.
I do like. So I think that is so my issue.
We're basically telling college football players they don't have to go to school after Thanksgiving Day.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, finals start shortly after there. But you know, I think if Tulane, if this were to be the 12 team thing, I think it'd be, and there's a chance it'd be Tulane versus Alabama round one.
I like Tulane in that matchup.
That's gonna be a massacre.
You know why? Because they got two lanes, not just the one lane.
Oh, well, that's what it is. This is all lane thing.
If Tulane ever hired Lane Kiffin, that'd be great. The two lanes, the good one and the bad one.
That'd be amazing. I want that now. But you know, Tulane has had a good year, they're going to go to a great bowl game, and everything's going to be peachy keen for them. But they're not going to make it to the playoffs.
So
I do, however, love conference championships.
Yeah,
I think it's just fun.
And you like Georgia to win. You like USC to beat Utah. Just off top of your head, you like TCU to beat K-State.
I think I might be taking Kent State in that.
I almost want to join you in that.
Or Kansas State, sorry, not Kent State.
Everyone wins except for I think Purdue beats Michigan. I got a feeling about this.
I heard they
brought back Drew Brees to do a master's class so he can be the quarterback in this game.
Did you see that fake video on Twitter of Drew Brees getting hit by lightning?
No.
It was trending this morning, and I saw, oh, cool, someone made a fake video. That's funny. It was, like, obviously fake, and then...
But then he was, like, younger or something?
Well, no, then, like, a lot of people were believing it, and it's like, what is going on here, guys? This is like, an early 2000s fake video.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, no, I think it's going to be interesting, and it's Saturday. I'm going to be glued to my TV for a lot.
Well, good luck, because I'm telling you right now, LSU beats Georgia by 4 points.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Purdue wins, beats Michigan. Two upsets. Those are two upsets. I think Georgia's in no matter what, though.
Yeah.
I think that we all agree with that.
Georgia, you know, they might lose just because Georgia's going to be coasting.
Well, let's talk about our sad for this week. Since next week is obviously going to be Georgia losing. This week, it is somebody who I believe played at Florida.
Yes, he did.
And his name is Mr. Kyle Pitts.
We don't hold
underused
that
player in the NFL.
We try and use him. We just can't get him the ball like in a catchable, even though he's 6'6".
Kyle Pitts, tight end for the Atlanta Falcons, is out for the season. Done. Second year, done, complete. Put it in the books.
You know, I saw a list of the top 25 players under 25 in the NFL.
Did he make that list?
He did not.
You know why?
Because he's not used at all.
He's caught four balls, I think, since he's entered the NFL.
He's got more than that.
I bet he's got less than four touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. No, he has two.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, he's a deep threat guy.
He's a big guy. He can catch the ball anywhere on the field.
Well, but when you have a 6'6 guy like that, you want to give him the ball deep. We don't have an office that can do that right now. But
is it really actually sad to see him get hurt, or is it a relief in a sense of we don't want to mess with his psyche so much that let's wait till next year when the Riddler is the
there's no guarantee that Desmond's gonna be any good.
That's true. I mean, we talked about that before. Yeah, obviously there must be something.
There's
that
I mean
Arthur
I've
Smith sees.
I've I think I've exhausted all topics on I'm kind of done with the Mariota experience. But you know,
so
I think
for Arch Manning.
It's tough to see a young guy get hurt, obviously, because you don't want players hurt, but it's knees are scary in general.
It's
like, is this going to be a nagging issue? I'm hoping that it's kind of he could probably be cleared to play in the playoffs, but let's just shut it down.
Right.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Because we're probably not making the playoffs, but let's give him ample time.
Let me just say real quick. I think Dallas is going to win the division, so this is not going to happen. But assume that Dallas gets the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, all the wild cards might come out of the NFC East. It's looking that way.
Honestly,
If Seattle drops back at all. But in any case, Atlanta wins the division because you guys are only half a game back or something like that.
Our division's so bad.
Then that means the Cowboys are coming to Atlanta.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome.
And we'd have to find tickets to that game. We'd both be spending thousands of dollars. It would be tripling.
You would
our...
spend thousands of dollars.
We would start a GoFundMe campaign.
That would be their only
for
option.
The Big Sad Fun podcast.
But I think.
But so shut them down.
It sucks that we are very clearly wasting the beginning of his career.
Yes.
And also, I heard something where it's like we're using him more as like a real tight end as opposed to just like a young guy we're trying to showcase. Yeah. Like, and you know, how often do you actually see tight ends?
And he's got that skill set.
Yeah. And, but like, we're using him a lot, and like blocking on passing downs.
Which, what if I give
but
you,
but it's like, you know, he is a real tight end. He's not a rookie show. He's not a receiver, which is, I think, what people struggle with because he has the build of a receiver.
Well,
sorry.
Let's go to, I like that, but let's go to our segment that we do every week, which is called Let's Play GM. And I am the GM of the Cowboys.
We've done this for years.
Yes,
yeah.
We do this every week. And you're the GM of the Atlanta Falcons. And I offer you a first round pick and Dalton Schultz. Will you give me confidence? What if I give you.
Where's your first round pick going to be?
Well, it looks like it's going to be number 32, baby. But
definitely not the number 32 pick.
What if I give you? Well, I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
It's hard to. I mean,
a first and a second, and Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz is a sweet, sweet, sweet deal. He's a good guy. He's a sweet guy, and he can play football.
Like,
I'll trade you all four of the tight ends we have on our roster.
Hard pass. but you know, it's because he's young, and there's. You see the glimpses of...
He's a piece for what's coming.
But, and you see the glimpses of greatness. And
but
it's
if you can't put a team together in 5 years...
Well,
in 3 more years, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, we still have three years to do that. Now, if we can't do it by then yeah, it's probably...
You're going to have to let him go, because you're not going to pay him.
Probably not.
I mean, you may not have to pay him with the way you're using him. It may people are like, well, he's only not worth that much. He doesn't do that much.
Yeah, that's true. He's
so maybe it's all part of the plan.
I mean, he has what, one or two touchdowns on American soil.
Oh my gosh,
American soil. Because he caught a touchdown in London.
Let's talk about. All right, do you have anything else you want to add on that?
No, I mean, it just kind of sucks that we're kind of wasting this young kid.
It is sad. It is sad, but that's a typical kind of you're wasting Matt Ryan's entire career.
Yeah, like, that's so true.
Let's talk about another quarterback whose career has not been wasted to this point, but his twilight years might be wasted.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Russ Wilson.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
There it is.
I forgot we were doing this as well.
Let Russell cook, turns out.
Segment. Man, did you see that video of the defensive lineman screaming at him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, that's... Yeah.
Apparently he was telling him, let's go, right? Or probably something a little bit more creative than that.
I think that's a good spin that they're doing afterwards.
Right, but yeah, he was, and Russell was a little rattled by it. I mean, if you watched the video.
And as we've both stated, we watched McAfee a lot. And I think a lot of what he says about Russell kind of being a movie character and not like a real person.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is Team 3 is kind of in his ear about all this.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of showing up now because it's easy to be that guy who's kind of weird.
Yeah, and you got a whole fan base that you won pretty early in your career.
Well, and it's easy to be that when you're winning.
Right, right.
And he's not winning, and he's not playing well
and
at
it's
all.
Starting, and I think it's a combination of things that are happening, and they keep building and building and building.
I have no idea what word you're
exponential.
Looking. There
there's
it is.
An exponential. there's an exponential problem here because. You know, he struggled early, and then it just started to spiral out of control from then on. Mm-hmm. I have not watched any Broncos games this year.
I've been forced to watch a bunch because I've been in the national game.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, that'll change soon, if not immediately.
I think it already has started.
So I've not really seen Russell Wilson play. I've seen some highlights that make me confused because it doesn't look like he doesn't look the way that we have seen him look.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like what we thought he was going to be coming out of college. Which is undersized and you know, trigger happy.
Yes.
And that's weird because that's turned out to be not what he was. And I'm wondering if coaching has anything to do with that or if it really is just all in his head.
And you know, I think it is like I think how much was Pete Carroll kind of saving, you know, the whole let Russ cook.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I
well,
think Pete Carroll is kind of like,
happens.
This is why there's
this
a reason
not
we aren't
a chef,
letting,
man.
Yeah, there's a reason we aren't letting Russ cook.
He's a waiter, not a cook. Let me cook, and he'll deliver the ball.
Yes,
but
and you know, but I saw something, and it makes a lot of sense for just like the whole person that is Russell.
Yeah,
you know, Mr. Unlimited, which that was the cringiest video all time. Hard to get through. He has the personality of a baseball player. Like, if he was, because remember, he was drafted.
Yeah,
that's right. Like, if he was in baseball, people would love him.
Yeah.
They think, oh, he's just kind of this weird, quirky guy.
Right.
But, I mean, his skill set's obviously football.
Yeah.
But
well, I don't know. Maybe he would have been a good baseball player. Who knows?
But, I mean.
Maybe it's not too late.
He's I mean, he went to Super Bowl as a quarterback. He's
with
clearly
the best defense in the history of the game.
Yeah,
so.
But, like, and he's, but he's been a successful quarterback.
Yes.
But it's like he just has the personality of a he has the personality of a baseball player.
I like that.
That actually checks out a lot.
That does. That makes a lot of sense.
And
he's like a Bryce Harper.
Yes, but that doesn't. Well, not quite that. But but you know, it's just that doesn't really work in a football setting.
Yeah, I agree with that. Especially when you got to be the leader of the team.
Yes.
In a way that most baseball players are not asked to do.
No.
And so. You know, and now it's a brand new team. It's not people he's developed relationships with, and so it's he's got
old teammates.
There's a situation.
Yeah, talking about him.
I think obviously they're stuck with him. It's going to cost them $100 million to cut him.
Oh yeah, no.
You know, if they trade him, it's going to cost them tens of millions.
He's their guy.
So maybe you hard reset in the offseason and figure it out.
Well, I think they need to just be a good defense. But it's going to be hard.
Well, they
keep
trading their
money
pieces away. They also traded away. Didn't they trade away Bradley Chubb?
I think so.
Yeah. So I don't know how committed they are to being the best defense in the
world.
Like,
but
they
that's
do have a good defense.
That's kind of the only way you're going to, like.
I mean, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Maybe they could get LeBron James to come play for them.
It's like the third time you brought up LeBron
James.
Well,
I just want to throw in a little LeBron James note. I think the Lakers should trade him. I'm going to put this right here in the sad because it's sad for LeBron to be on the Lakers. And talk about wasted careers. He's got just a little bit left in the tank.
I agree.
He needs
that.
To be used. Trade him to Cleveland. So that's all I want to say on that.
I don't disagree with that.
Let's
I think for Lakers' sake they need to because they gave up.
They gave up so much to give AD.
Well, they gave up a lot to get the pieces that LeBron wanted. And I mean, you know, you got the COVID ring.
it counts. That's a full ring.
It does. And but you know, it's that. There is a little bit of an asterisk there.
No asterisk. Not here. Not on this show.
Okay.
LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time.
That's debatable, but I definitely put him top three. But yeah, no, I agree with you. They need to trade him.
All right. Well, then let's have some fun.
So
there is a tournament going on the global stage.
Small tournament.
You may have heard of it. Small tournament. Only 16 teams left, or will be soon. And, you know, it's happening in a very hot place where apparently there's a bunch of crime and a bunch of corruption, which could be Southern California. But no, it's Qatar. And it is the World Cup happening right now in an odd time of the year for the World Cup to be happening.
Well, because it's like 6,000 degrees
and
Celsius
and
over there.
The United States of America are going to win this thing.
Hey, Soccer Lombardi's coming home with us.
Let's talk about the World Cup.
Let's do it.
You've been watching the games?
I've been watching the U.S. games, and I've watched a couple of the other games just, you know, to have something on. I do think it's always you are grabbing your vuvuzela. No, please, God, no. That cannot stay in.
That will stay in.
Oh, my God.
Because
everyone's going to hate us.
All about World Cup all the time.
You have to at least turn that down in the...
We'll drop the volume out.
Thank you. God, that'd be terrible. I would never listen again. So
you watched the United States games.
And I watched a couple of the other games just like.
I've seen them on in the background. I saw Argentina play Mexico. Yeah, I thought that was good. I kind of have a little thing for Argentina. I'd like to see Messi win a World Cup, especially if the United States isn't going to be able to do it. Germany got eliminated.
I saw that. Mexico.
Mexico's out.
I think
this is an upset city. This is upset World Cup, and I think that's the kind of World Cup United States is going to win.
I will say, though, from my, you know, outsider perspective, but as someone who does like sports a lot, and like, so, you know, any sport I can kind of see what's going on. From team building, it's like I get that aspect of any sport.
Yeah.
This is very clearly a young team.
Which is a good thing.
And
for next
year. Yes,
time.
Yes. But this is, it's like, and like, you know, kind of the knock on us is like, we don't have a great bench. We don't have a third scoring option or something, whatever.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's like, yeah, but like the young guys are coming up and then more young guys will come up and kind of kick out those bench guys.
I mean, we still got Landon Donovan, don't we?
No.
We still got Josie Altidore.
I think Donovan's an announcer now.
Oh.
But
well,
you know,
we got David Beckham, right?
He owns one of an MLS team, I think. Now, but and you know, I always have said, and nothing against Christian Pulisic and all the boys now.
Yeah.
But if our best player, if our best athletes played soccer.
Oh yeah.
Like if Derrick Henry was you know charging the ball down the
absolutely.
Field.
Absolutely, LeBron James, Julio Jones.
Yeah. Come like, on. I mean,
Dez Bryant.
I mean, Christian Pulisic would be the guy in the bar saying, hey, you know, I used to play with those guys.
Exactly.
No, he would still probably be in there. But
I had this conversation with a friend of mine just the other day, like literally a couple of days ago. And I thought we were talking about, he was talking about how, you know, the World Cup, you know, we never win and how we can't compete on the global level. And I said, that's because we send our best athletes to play football. We send our best athletes to play football, baseball, and basketball. Mm-hmm. If you took just the top five athletes from football and from baseball and from basketball, and you put them on a field and said, train for a year how to play soccer.
It might take a little longer than that, but I know.
1 year.
I know
one
what
year,
you're
Edward. And 1 year, they would be the best team that's ever played in the history of soccer.
Well,
a bit
hyperbolic.
That's what we do here in America.
But, you know, like, I definitely think, all right, let's take who's the running back for the Giants?
Doesn't even matter.
Saquon Barkley.
But any of the running backs would be just as good.
Well, but just a physical mountain of a man.
All right,
but if you took him and as opposed to having him, if you just like plucked him and put him in South America and he just played soccer his entire time,
right?
His entire time growing up, he would be
dominant.
And I think he would dominate any sport.
And
I've had this conversation with rugby guys before. If you put him on a rugby field at the age of 10 and have him just play rugby, yeah. He's one of the greatest of all time.
I don't even think you need just the big guys. I think what you could do is go around and pick up all the receivers that have been drafted the last 2 years. Get Jalen Waddle. What's his name? Burrow's kid.
Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase. Get Drake London. CeeDee Lamb. Get these guys. Get all these guys together. You got a team.
You know what's funny though is like, and obviously I have no.
Those kids probably know how to play soccer too. A little bit.
I have no. Whoa, what do you know? I get
breaking news.
Notification about the U.S. Women's Cup.
Do we win?
Someone wrote an article about someone, and
the Netherlands have forfeited. You heard it here first, folks.
I did read somewhere that they're dealing with the flu. Also, I saw Pulisic's cleared to play.
Good.
After the
that man shot.
After the what was it? The pelvic contusion.
Oh my gosh.
That looked like it hurt. But one thing that I did notice, and I have no facts or anything behind this, seem shorter than other teams. And it's like,
again, our athletes don't play. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, because if you're over 6'3", you're playing some other sport.
I did say this, though. I said this 15 years ago. I said this when all of the CTE stuff started coming out with the NFL. I said that you're going to see a shift. It's going to take about 20 years for it to happen. But you're going to see a shift where mothers are going to start funneling their kids into soccer rather than into football.
You can see that.
And
yeah.
I think you already see that now. I think our team is better now than it has been in some time. And I think it's going to get a lot better next time around because we are young and we are going to get better.
Yeah.
And the kids that we have are athletes now in a way that they have not been in the past. And I do think that that's just going to get more and more so the case.
I agree with that. I think also a lot of money has been put in to kind of youth programs by the U.S. And so you're seeing a lot more
starting to pay off.
Develop, yes.
And you're starting to see people care about soccer more than they used to.
Yes. And I think that also, and obviously we live in a weird place where our soccer team sells out a lot. And people care about the Atlanta United.
Yeah.
And so soccer is a lot bigger to us than, you know, probably for name another
here in Atlanta, you mean?
Yes.
I will say I think that's true. Although in certain circles, certain conversations, obviously you get the Braves, you get the Falcons, you get Hawks, and then there will be people who talk about the non-existent hockey team.
I hope one comes back.
See, right, like that right there. And then MLS is kind of like didn't we win a championship in that?
And it still is the younger brother, and I think it kind of always will be, but it's a younger brother that's holding its own at this point.
And the more fans you get, the bigger TV contracts you get, the more money you can pay your players, the more likely it is you're going to get people there eventually.
Exactly.
That's how it works, folks.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun to care about soccer for, you know, once every 4 years.
Yeah. And for us, it's been 8 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And we didn't beat England. It was a draw.
Yeah, but they were supposed to beat us like 12 to nothing.
So that is a win.
Yeah.
I love the mentality of soccer.
And but you know, and someone Twitter was amazing after that.
Yeah.
Someone was like, can you imagine if England just started playing football and then they put together a team and then they beat like our Pro Bowl?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Like, it got a point. Yeah. We would lose it. they tied our Pro Bowl team.
Did England make it out of the group?
Yes.
So yeah, it was us and England. Yeah. They made it out. Okay.
England's a solid team.
And we play the Netherlands tomorrow.
Yes. 10 a.m.
What's the line on that?
I don't understand soccer lines. Are you kidding me?
Let's see. I'm gonna pull it up. World Cup. Here we are.
The line is star circle hashtag shoe. Like,
it looks like we're playing tomorrow at 10 a.m. Which I believe you said already. And I don't. Is there gonna even be a betting line on something like this?
I don't know how stuff works, man. I'm not the degenerate.
I don't see a betting line
on it.
So let's assume the Netherlands is favored by 3 goals. And let's go, United States, man. This is fun.
It's fun, and World Cup soccer is a little more fun to watch because like the crowd's into it, and you can hear kind of the soccer chants, which I wish we kind of did in football. But
oh, I got one for you. Hold on.
Oh no! Please God no! Just at least further away from the mic. That was better. I was like, just don't do it right in the microphone again.
Let's go, United States. The Netherlands are negative 112.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Like,
the Netherlands are favored to win. We'll say it that way.
Yes.
And you get 112 points.
You get 112 fun points.
Ah, I guess they don't do goal differentials. Oh, over under goals in the match is 2.5.
Okay, so they're probably favored by 2 goals.
Like I said, 3 goals.
Yeah. All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week.
We'll be able to talk about a U.S. win.
That's right. And a Georgia loss. All right, see you guys.
See you.